Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up, tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Out in the darkness of sin, they are waiting, lost and away from the fold.
Teaching on the creation of man and women, and how God created man when he created him in the Garden of Eden. It tells us in Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And we need to understand that we originally were created in one body. We were both male and female in one body. We were not like the animals that were created apart and separated right at the beginning. It was only after, when God gave them all their instruction, and after Adam named all the animals, that God separated them. He took the rib out of Adam and he said, "This is a woman." We do not read that he breathed a new breath into the rib. So the breath came with the rib. So there was not a new creation, it was just a separation. And they both worked in harmony. to the fullest until the fall came, and then a curse was placed on the woman, where the woman would have to start depending on the man, and the man automatically would rule over her. That is found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. It is very interesting when you study it. But then Jesus was crucified, and he broke that curse. That curse that was placed upon Adam and Eve was broken at the cross of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it tells us that God will pour out his Spirit upon both male and female. The Bible teaches us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and verse 27, that we are all baptized into one body by one Spirit. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. This is the summary of the creation. First, the Lord created us. Then man fell. And then the Lord Jesus Christ brought us back into the original status where we were before the fall. How did he accomplish that? By the cross of Calvary, he brought us back into a standing with God where God says there is neither male nor female. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither Greek nor Jew. Now, if anybody becomes a Christian, he has the same rights as Adam and Eve. He has the same privileges and he has the same status. And today I will teach on the controversial scriptures that churches have problems with today. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open the hearts of those that are listening so that they can understand and see. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace. I ask you to bless us today in Jesus' name. Amen. When one studies the Word of God, it becomes very clear that God has an order in the way a man and a woman operate, especially when it comes to raising a family. For it tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband, as also unto the Lord, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word." Very clear instructions when it comes to the family, when it comes to raising a family. And I personally believe when it comes to the church, we should take an example from that, because we know that the church is a family body also. But trying to restrict a woman in the churches, like so many religions do and so many Christian organizations do, that is not from God. Even though in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible teaches us that the woman, or should we say, the wife is the weaker vessel. And I personally believe that weaker vessel means in the physical, not in the spiritual. Because once the Holy Ghost is being poured out on man or a woman, there is no such a thing as a weaker vessel. Many, many women have proven that they can be very, very powerful for God. So we need to understand that there is an order in the Word of God on how we need to operate when it comes to raising a family. And the Bible teaches that wives need to submit themselves to their husbands, and husbands need to love their wives. And we also have to understand in verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 5, it says we should submit one to another. We need to submit one to another. We don't rule over each other. We uplift one another. We should walk in harmony, just like Adam and Eve did before the fall, working and encouraging one another and taking advantage of each other's strengths. This is what God is trying to teach us. A woman has some incredible strength, and a man should take advantage of him and put him to use. A man has great strength, and a woman should take advantage of that. And I'm not talking about taking advantage for one's personal gain, but to further the kingdom of God, we take advantage of each other's strengths. We use them for the furthering of the kingdom by exploiting those strengths that we each possess. But what about the controversial scriptures that are found in the Word of God that seems to place women beneath the man? And these scriptures are found in 1 Corinthians and in 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, it tells us, "Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, and Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression." When we study these scriptures here, the Apostle Paul is teaching Timothy, the woman need to be silent in the church. And then he sort of gives Timothy something to think about. For we know that Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived being in transgression. That gives Timothy a hint. What Paul was talking about, the transgression that the woman was deceived in, was taken care at the cross of Calvary. It has been nullified, so it doesn't count anymore. And in verse 15, he brings the punchline. He says, "Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing." How on earth can a woman be saved in childbearing? We know that there is only one way for a woman to be saved, and that is through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how will the woman be saved from her dilemma? She has been placed beneath the man where the husband rules over her. How can she be saved from that position? It says she shall be saved in childbearing. How is that possible? When she brought forth the Lord Jesus Christ, he died on the cross and he broke the curse. That's how she was saved in childbearing. We need to understand and see that. For the Lord Jesus Christ tells us very clearly that he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. There is neither male nor female. In the spiritual realm, we have the same strengths. There is no difference. God has created us equal. How about the scripture found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in verse 34? It tells us, "Let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church." Well, the first question I have, what about the woman who has no husband? Whom should she ask? This is a very controversial scripture that has brought many people to think that a woman has to stay silent in the church. Then, in other words, a woman cannot preach the gospel. A woman has to stay silent. She cannot give her testimony. We all know for a fact that it was a woman that brought the first news of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I will show you how to look at this scripture from a different point of view. We have to see this question here as coming from the Corinthians to Paul, asking him, should our women keep silent in the churches? And this is what he's reading. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, for they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. So Paul is questioning them. You are asking, should the women keep silent in the churches, for they are commanded by the law to be under obedience? First of all, the law has been taken care of at the cross. And then in verse 36, he comes back with a resounding statement. He says, what? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? So here is the answer to their question. Are you telling me your women should stay silent in the churches? Are you saying that the word of God came unto you only? We have to understand that the men were asking Paul a question, and now he is answering them. Are you telling me that the word of God came unto you only? When you study scriptures, Old and New Testament, we can clearly see that the word that the Holy Spirit came upon the women also. Isaiah calls his wife the prophetess. So in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is poured out upon men and women, male and female, sons and daughters. We have been brought back into our original status and plan that God had for us. Together, we operate in the spiritual realm, walking and working the things of God. Many, many women today are out in the front lines, preaching the gospel, bringing many, many to the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that it's true. We have seen it. God wants us to understand that the work that He has for us, both man and woman, need each other to bring forth this awesome gospel that He wants the whole world to hear. Where do you stand on this subject? We as Christians need to study scripture and ask the Holy Ghost what He means. Not just to look at scripture and take what we've been taught throughout our existence in religious systems. Yes, many of us have been taught through religion what these scriptures mean. We have to start seeking revelation through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will give those revelations to us. Yes, today many churches are being split. There's great heartache because people don't understand scripture. They don't take them at face value. They don't study them through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. They take them as the way they have been taught by their religious upbringing. And all this because Satan wants confusion, and he tries to keep us from bringing in the harvest that God has called us together. We need to repent of these things and turn to the Lord and seek His face and His advice, and He will open our hearts to the truth. Yes, the Lord will open your heart to this message and make you a blessing. Amen.
Every time I do a deed I shouldn't do, every time I say a word I shouldn't say, let me tell you what I do, and it brings a blessing too. I just steal away somewhere and pray.
I just steal away. I just steal away, and I'll ask my blessed Lord.
God will hear and answer all my prayers if I thank Him for His blessings every day. When I'm burdened down with grief, He will give my heart relief if I steal away somewhere and pray.
I just steal away, I just steal away, and I'll ask my blessed Lord to lead the way. I just steal away, I just steal away, I just steal away somewhere.
As we will get closer to the end, we will see some interesting things happening in the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is warning us that there shall be seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And I believe that will affect the church, because many in the church are lukewarm, according to Revelation chapter 3, because it tells us that we are in the age of the church of Laodicea, which is neither hot nor cold. So those Christians, those people of God who want to be on fire, they need to stick close to the Word of God and make sure that they are walking according to the Word of God. You cannot separate the Word of God from the Spirit of God. Many today are taking the Word of God and not putting the Spirit of God to it. And many are taking the Spirit of God and not adding the Word of God to it. You have to balance both of them out. You have to make sure that both of them agree. There are many dangers in studying the Word of God without the Spirit of God, because the revelations you have a lot of times come from the flesh. And at the same time, if you have a spiritual experience, if it doesn't line up with Scripture, then you may have an experience that comes from the demonic realm. These are all dangers warned of in the Word of God. The Word of God has a safeguard against these things. The Word of God gives us instruction on how to keep ourselves from these pitfalls. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, it tells us, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." This is the word I want to bring to anybody who may be fearful, who may be very cautious, who may be afraid of making a mistake. I want you to understand that it's okay to step out and seek the will of God. We need not to be afraid of stepping into new territory. Many in the church are afraid of making a move into a new direction. They will stick to what has been tried and proven. Their experiences are what the people did 20 or 30 or 50 years ago. Let me tell you, if you have to depend on an experience that happened to you 20 years ago, then you don't have a very exciting Christian life. So I want to explain here, we need not to be afraid of stepping out in new territory for the Lord God, for he wants us to do that. We are his children, and he gets excited when we learn to take steps for him. Yes, if we will stay humble before him, then he will do mighty works through us. The Bible teaches us in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that the Apostle Paul says he's confident that he that has begun a good work in him will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was not afraid to step out into new territory because he was confident that the Lord God was leading him and he will perform and finish his work in him. So if we expect God to finish his work in us, we need to have faith and walk before him in expectancy, expecting that he will take care of our needs, that he will walk before us, and then through him we will accomplish what he has called us to do. Yes, the Word of God teaches that if we will stay humble, he will exalt us in due time. And for those of you who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are fast running out of time. There is still a small window open for those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. That window has been placed there for you to come to him. One of these days, that window will be closed forever. And then throughout eternity, your chances of turning to the Lord will be gone. So I'm asking you today, turn to him for salvation. Do not lose this time of opportunity, because Jesus is about to come on the scene and change things forever. The Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.